Of course, when you come to giving, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 is the greatest books on faith promise giving that's ever been written. So if you'll turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, go to about chapter 9, verse 5, I guess. We'll start there and read down to about verse 8. Bible says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before and to you and make up the beforehand your bounty. Thereof you have notice thereof, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." Now you look in verse 2 down there, he's talking there about the church at Macedonia. But look in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And we'll stop right there. Father, we ask now you bless the preaching of the book this morning. God, I pray, Father, that you help me, Lord, and bring to remembrance the things I know, the things I've studied, the 35 years of experience, Lord, and God, the things I've applied in my own life. Help me, God, this morning to get the burden across to the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You'll find a little saying there in verse, a little quote there in verse 7. "Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give." Now, I want to preach on that thought this morning, "so let him give." And one thing you'll see about Christianity, if you don't go too far into it, it's all about giving. And it might not be monetary giving. It might be your life. It might be helping somebody. It might be doing something. It might be using your talents. It might be using the gifts that God has enabled you with. But the whole thing is set up on giving. Everything's set up on giving. And it's set up on giving because of John chapter 3, verse 16. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Amen. And then in order for the gospel to go forth, we have to give. We have to give of our time. We have to give of our knowledge. You take a teacher that stands and teaches, as Brother Vernon does, and Brother Andrew and Brother David, and many of them here this morning. You have to prepare in order to teach, but when you're teaching, you're actually giving that knowledge. When you help someone, you're giving. But this morning, I want to primarily speak about monetary giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we find the promise God made there to those who give. If you'll look back there with me, I got it wrote down, but if you'll look back there with me, chapter 6, verse 38, God made a promise, and it's connected with giving. I didn't really get a hold of this verse about 1992 or 94. I've always been a tither, always been a giver. But I was on an airplane going over to Northern Ireland to preach a mission conference or something. I don't know what it was, trying to study my Bible, which is useless on an airplane. But anyway, God kindly opened this scripture up to me. The Bible says there, the first word of that verse is give. Amen? "And it shall be given unto you." Then God describes how he's going to give it back to you. He said, "Good measures." He said, "I'm going to press it down, and I'm going to shake it together, and it's going to be running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again." But you'll notice the first word there is give, and then God says, "Here's what I'm going to promise you. I'm going to repay you." When you give to the Lord's work, you're actually giving to the Lord. You say, "Well, I give to the church." Well, you're really giving to the Lord. Amen? You say, "Well, I give to the missionary." You're really giving it to the Lord. Because if it hadn't been for the Lord, you wouldn't be giving nothing. Amen. Nobody in the neighborhood drops by and leaves a bunch of money here in offering plate. I don't know if you noticed that or not. It's usually Christians. It's usually people that's been born again, people that's been saved. Amen. A businessman down the road, he's never come over and tried to give me $1,000, $2,000 check. Amen. It's saved people that give. It's saved people that give so the gospel can go out around the world. But see, God doesn't ask us to give without making us a promise if we'll give. That's what he done there in Luke 6:38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." In other words, God is going to give you more back than what you give to him. God is going to make sure that you got a good measure. He's going to make sure that there's no air holes in it. It's going to be pressed down. And he's going to shake it real good and settle it down. Amen. And then he says it's going to be overflowing. It's going to be overrunning. But look at the way this is done there. Shall men give unto your bosom? That's the secret to this whole verse. Loved ones, I want to encourage you here this morning. If you get your giving right, God will live on a person's heart to help you give to his work. Amen. I've witnessed this myself. And what you do, you're sitting there this morning and you're trying to figure out how you can give your little bit and give this and give that, and you've left God completely out of the equation.
Amen.
You're looking at it on your means and your abilities and what you have. And you got to look at it on God. You laid on my heart as a man purposed in his heart over in verse 7 of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. And you got a purpose in your heart. Father, this is what I think you want me to give. And God, this is what I'm going to do. And Father, I'm going to rely on you to meet my needs to be able to give that amount.
Amen.
That's pretty simple.
Amen.
Amen. Now, God gives it to you. You don't put it in your pocket. There are three things about money. You make it, spend it, and give it. I said that's simple. Amen? I've been reading Dave Ramsey's book on financial peace. And if he every other page in there, he expresses those three things about money. And he puts a lot of emphasis on giving. Now, I don't know if you've noticed a commercial recently on the television, but now the secular world has got the same thing that Dave Ramsey says about giving. Have y'all seen that commercial on there? It was on there the other night. And it's a better life or a better something. It's a little thing that comes, you know, to be polite and all that. Well, now they've come up with one on giving. Ain't it sad that the media, God-forsaken media, 95% of the media people say that they're atheists. They don't even believe in a God, using the same principle set forth in the Word of God, amen, and in the Christian world. You say, why? Because theirs is not working, so they got to go to another source. But you'll find out here, I want to show you some things about so let him give, and you'll find there that promise to give. I want to show you some ways of giving. First of all, giving is complete obedience to God. Look what it says there in verse 7 of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. According to this verse, we use the verses we use to introduce it, the giving here. Giving, the blessings of God hinges on our ability to give and our willingness to give. But the Bible says there, as he purposed in his heart. In other words, it's got to be a heart thing. The giver must see a need. And when you see a need, it touches your heart. Jesus Christ stood there in John 4:37-5, I think it is. And when his disciples returned, he stood there and he was looking over the fields and he said, look here on the field, they're white unto harvest. What he was trying to do is get them people to recognize that there's a need. These missionaries we brought in here during our mission conference, we let them show their slides of the fields they're going to. And I don't know about you, I've never seen a missionary presentation that didn't touch my heart. It just bothers me. And if I wasn't 100% settled that I'm right where God wants me, I'd be gone in a heartbeat. I'll tell you, I've been trying to go to the mission field for 35 years. Why, it bothers me when I see a need. When Brother Flores stood here and preached last week and talked about that little village down in Mexico, and he'd like to get a Bible to each one of those little villagers and get a book about the Catholic faith in there to them, my head started churning. Well, I wonder what it costs to do that. Wonder what it cost to get them little pamphlets printed. Wonder what it would cost, amen, to get them all down there. Wonder what it cost. Wonder how we could get them across the border. And I believe there's something wrong with a child of God when you hear a need and it don't bother you. You might not be able to do a thing about it. You might not could give 2 cents toward it, but it ought to break your heart. It ought to bother you. While we sit here in America, we got a comfortable building this morning. We got decent pews to sit on. We got a heater that's about to run us out of here. When God's people around the world does not have even a Bible in their hand, amen, or in their language, that ought to bother us. Jesus Christ said in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say. Obedience is the highest act of love to the Lord Jesus Christ, is obedience. You know how your children, when they obey you, you automatically assume them children love you.
Amen.
I mean, that's automatic. Same thing with our Lord. When God obeys, when we obey God, God automatically assumes that we love Him, and giving is one of the highest honors of love and highest acts of love that we can have toward God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, look there. And God is able to make all grace toward, abound toward you. You know, that all grace there is better than winning the lottery. That all grace is better than having $1 million in the bank this morning. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, that's God's grace. God's grace can do anything it wants to do, when it wants to whoever it wants to do it. Amen.
Right.
You, some of you sitting here this morning, you say, well, I got an education, I got this. No, you got God's grace is what you got.
Yeah.
Amen? That's what kept you going. That's what's kept them jobs coming. That's what's kept them promotions at the workplace. When you don't deserve them, you ain't fit, amen? You getting promotions that you ain't even got the educational ability to handle, and God has been good to you and giving you the grace to allow you to pay every bill you owe. I'd rather have all grace than win the lottery. God's grace.
Amen.
But I tell you what, I'm living a whole lot different life than I ever thought I would.
Amen.
Amen? I'm eating better food than I could have ever provided. I'm wearing better clothes than I could have ever bought. I'm driving a nicer car than I could have ever had.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Living in a better home than I could ever afford. God's grace. Amen. I don't know about you. I want that all grace. God is able to make all grace toward abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, take a little study to go into that, but every good work there pertains to gold, silver, and precious stones over in the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a whole other message we can preach. Amen? But when you do what God tells you, when you do it with attitude, God tells you to do it, a cheerful giver, then God said, here's what I'm going to do. Same thing we just found in Luke 6:38. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make all grace abound towards you. You know yourself. Now, I can't say this for everybody. I can say it for myself and probably several people in here. You cannot sit down and take a pencil and piece of paper and figure out how you do what you do. Amen? You can't do that. It ain't supposed to work. I just wrote my faith promise down right there, and it scares me. But you know, God has met my need for the last 10, 15 years. And I told y'all I started out raising mine 15% every year, and I'm telling you, it's getting real healthy. Amen. But God's meeting it every year. I ain't doing without nothing. I hadn't had to miss a meal. I ain't seen an old wore-out car I can't buy still. Amen. I like cars. I got to buy a bigger yard to put them in, but I like them. Amen. But God's just good to us.
Amen.
Why, all grace. Get your giving right. Therefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward Him. Simply put, the Apostle Paul is saying the proof of a Christian's love for Christ is his obedience to Christ. Giving is complete obedience to Christ. Let's say something else. Give wisely is an act of wisdom. In Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You want to handle your giving wisely.
Amen.
Amen. See what it says there? He that handleth a matter wisely, well then the matter right now is your giving. You want to do it wisely, shall find good. And whosoever trusteth, that's in giving, in the Lord, happy is he. I believe everyone here knows you should be a giver, but you also need to know there's a thin line between faith and foolishness. And you do real good not to cross it. See, everybody in here is a different level of giving. Everybody in this church, even the ones that's not here this morning because of sickness, you're at a different level of giving. God has never required me to give what one of y'all gives. God's never required you to give what I give or what somebody else in here gives. Amen? You're to wisely consider, God, this is what I feel that you would provide for me to give. And Father, this is what I'm giving. My tithes is different than your tithes. Amen? Amen. It's 10%. So you don't sit here and get to feeling bad or say, well, I can't do so. I've had no telling how many people walk up to me and try to explain to me why they can't give this or why. I don't care why you can't give a 10 cents. I don't bother. Amen. I don't care. Just give the 10 cents. You don't have to explain to me. I'm not the one at the judgment seat. I'm going to be in line with you. Purpose in your heart that this is what I'll be able to do, and God, I want to allow you to enable me to do that and do that, and don't worry about what everybody else thinks. It might come a time that a dollar would be be hard on me. Right now, it's not. It might come a time $10 be hard on me. Right now, it's not. God don't judge us among ourselves. Give wisely. Pray about what God would have you to give and then trust God to supply it. Amen? Amen. Jim Elliot, who was one of the missionaries killed in South America by the Indians he was trying to reach when he landed his plane, there were 6 of them killed, 1957. Here's a quote, and I'm pretty sure you've heard it, but he's the one that wrote it. He is no fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. That's pretty good right there. Amen? He was talking about his life, his livelihood, everything. We can pertain that to money too. Then we need to give cheerfully. When you give cheerfully, it's a sign of joy. 2 Corinthians 9:7, you'll notice there. He says there in 9:7, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This quote I read and studied for this, he gave little who gives much with a frown. He gives much who gives little with a smile. You know, our attitude and our giving has a lot to do with our reward for giving. I guess I'd do something so the preacher shut up. Some of y'all been here with me 28 years. You've never heard me get in this pulpit and say we need to give so the building will be paid for. We need to give so the lights can be kept on. Brother Jeff been here with me 27, 28 years. Brother Graham about 26, 27. Ain't never heard that. You don't give so the lights will stay on. You don't give so the building will be paid for. You don't give so I have a salary. Amen? Never one time have I ever got in here and begged for money because we need to pay the building. We got to pay the light bill. We got to pay this. We got to pay that. Not one time. Say why? You give because God commanded you to give. And when you give that way, you should give out of a joyful heart. You ought to give. It ought to be a blessing to be able to give. It ought to be joy. It ought to fill your soul that, praise God, I got something to give back to the Lord. Amen. Why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. I like the way these little kids do our pennies. Amen. They get into that. Suddenly they're running into each other, knocking each other down. They're laughing and cutting up and running back and forth and getting their pennies, you know, on Wednesday night. And I'm thinking, that's probably just what God would like for us to do. Amen. Just drop your check in there and run a lap. Shout it out. Amen. It says not grudgingly. Grudgingly, I had to go to the old Webster's 1828 to get this meaning because this wasn't in the modern language dictionaries. It means unwillingly, with reluctant or discontent. Yeah, okay. Keep that picking plate in my face long enough. Here's your $20. It's what they call taking up an offering. Just stand there and somebody gets it. Amen. Brother Turner years ago when he started out, remember he had them old toy guns in his coat? Graham, you remember? And he'd pull one of them out, and he'd say, I'm going to take an offering tonight, you know. And it's comical, but that's, you know, take an offering. You ought to be giving an offering. Amen. Some churches, and I don't know if there ain't nothing wrong with it, some churches don't pass an offering plate. They'll put a plate or a bucket or something back there by the back door, and you give as you come and go, and amen, drop something in that. Ain't nothing wrong with that either. But we ought to give out of a willing heart. We ought to give out of a joyful heart. We ought to give. Why? Because God has given to us. Boy, what a blessing. That he, amen. He gives me $1,000 and all he has, he said, could you just give me $100 of that? That's a pretty good deal, ain't it? Amen. Amen. You give me $1,000, I'll give you $100 back. Amen. Amen. Everybody here give me $1,000, I'll be more than happy to give you $100 back.
Amen.
That's all God asked. And that tithe belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. A cheerful giver. Amen. Enjoy giving. It says over here at this church in chapter 8, verse 2 there. I'll preach on it just a minute. Let me see if I can find it. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. It says there, the abundance of their joy. This church over here that he was talking about, the churches of Macedonia, there was three of them, they enjoyed giving. They enjoyed it. It brought joy to them to give. It wasn't done grudgingly. It wasn't done out of necessity. It wasn't done. Necessity there means it's done because of a need. That's what that word means, necessity. In other words, we gotta pay the bills, so y'all gonna have to come off some money. It shouldn't be given like that. If we owe nothing on this building, if we had $3 million today in the bank, that has nothing to do with what God requires of His children in giving and tithing to the church. Amen? You give? Why? Because God said give. God set the example to give. Then you should give generously. This shows our gratitude to God. It says there in chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That's just the principle of sowing and reaping. That's the principle of farming. Amen. You go out and put one seed in the ground, what do you expect? You expect one plant. Amen. You want a lot of, some of you plant gardens, amen. If you want a lot of fruit and vegetables, then you're going to have to plant a lot of seeds. So he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. That's the same principle in Luke 6:38. Our thankfulness for how God has supplied our needs should show in our giving. If you're not careful and you get them tithing slips in and you get them faith promise slips in and look at how much you did give and say, boy, I could have done a lot with that. You couldn't if God's blessing wasn't on you. God lifted his hand off. God moved a man's heart down there and you lose that good job you got. He can give you favor with people. He did Joseph over there. Amen. Company come in, sell, and you ain't got no job. You couldn't do nothing with it then. Well, I could have bought a car with that, yeah, until God's blessing was withdrawn from you. That little bug you catch at the workplace, you're out of work for a year, lose everything you got. Little car wreck. Amen. Amen. That trip to the hospital is just supposed to be a common checkup. Get that diagnosed. You can't work 2 or 3 years. God's blessings off of you. So don't be thinking like that. Give generously. Amen. Give because God gives you. I was talking to one of the families here in the church, and he said his faith promise given up by percentage of what he made. That's a pretty good deal. More you make, more you give. Amen. Speaking of giving generously, I might have used this here. I've used it in a lot of places. Brother Robbie Chancey, who went to Northern Ireland as a missionary when he's on deputation, he had his two kids with him. They stopped in a little church up in Pennsylvania. He preached. And he gave them kids $1 apiece to put an offering plate. And he got through preaching, showing, presenting his work, and his call to Northern Ireland, got back in the car and headed down the road, and they'd give him an envelope. He opened that envelope, and there was $2 in there. And Robert said he was sitting in the front seat of griping and bellyaching and mumbling and grumbling and carrying on, and said Katie, his little girl, sitting in the back seat, she said, "Well, Daddy, if you'd have given more, you'd have got more." Amen? That's the way we are. Give more, you get more. Amen? Give generously. And then also, you need to give sacrificially. Amen? Sacrificially. And that way, it proves our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Over there at the verse I read a while ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality." Amen? But how that in a great trial of affliction, in reading on these churches right here, I've read a couple of commentaries. They said they probably wasn't poor churches, but due to the fact that they had accepted Christ, where their poverty came from is due to the fact, because back in those days when the churches would accept Christ, they start losing things. They start losing jobs and family members would turn on. And it said, but they still kept that attitude of giving. And they was under great affliction. But the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches. Amen. And they were still able to give out of the love that they have. And you'll find there in verse 3, "Into their power I bear record." In other words, Paul said they didn't have the ability to do that. But look there in verse 3, "And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They went beyond their power to give. And I hit on that a while ago a little bit. When we give within our power, we're not going to give a whole lot. When we do the work of God in our power, we're not going to do a whole lot. When we go in our strength, in our power, we're not going to go very far. And what we do as Christians, we depend on God, amen. And when we depend on God, we're able to do great things for God, and that includes in our giving to God and to the things of the Lord. It says, "But to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Now, sacrificially giving, and I don't believe very few do it in America. Brother Billy Allen used to say, "Give till it hurt, and then still give." I know as a pastor of this church that I got some people here that give sacrificially. I got people in this church, and they go through hard times, they go through down times, they go through jobless times, they go through sickness, they go through heartache, they go through heartbreak. Amen. And I've noticed if you look at their tithing record and their faith promise giving, it never changes. When I see that thing at the end of the year, Brother Tom makes them out and I show them to me before he gives them out. When I look at that, I say, "How in the world? How did they do that?" You say, "How'd they do that?" Sacrificially. See, when you set your giving up to where that's the first thing you do and not the last, you always have it to give. Amen? Don't pay your bills and see if you can tithe. Don't pay your bills and see if you can give a faith promise. Amen. God requires the first in the Old Testament, Leviticus over there. When he wrote those chapters, the first fruits was of the Lord. The first fruits of your earnings were to be of the God, of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to pay my tithe and then I'm going to pay my bill. Because I'd rather Alabama Fire be a little bit short than God.
Amen.
Amen. I had rather my eating out and my buying stuff and my entertainment be a little bit short, amen, than God be short on what I told God I'd do. Because I am of the firm belief that where I'm at this morning, what I make this morning, the blessings that flow in my way today come straight from God and not from nothing I'm able to do. I'm of that belief this morning. I don't have many abilities. God called me to preach, started preaching. Called me to go to school, I went to school. Amen. Called me to start this church, started this church. Called me to pastor, I pastored. He lets me go out and preach every once in a while, I go out and preach every once in a while. And God provides. I have received $800 in the mail this month that I didn't even know was coming in the mail. And it wasn't nobody sending it to me. It was company sending me some refunds and rebates on something that... That's pretty good. I like that.
Amen.
Amen. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Turn there, let me show you something about this giving. We're winding down here. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It's called great grace over here, this giving is. But look what the content of this chapter is. Look in verse 31 at Acts chapter 4. Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's a sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost, too, by the way. It's not tongues. Amen. See that right there? Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, you got boldness. You won't be timid. You won't cower down. You'll speak up for God. Amen? And you'll be a witness for the Lord. Verse 32, and a multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now you see what we get into here. We get into giving. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That great grace is giving grace. Look what it says in 34. Neither was there any among them that liked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That great grace is right in the middle of the content of giving and making sure everyone had the needs were met. Amen? You say, what happened there? They give sacrificially. You'll find that this grace of giving, you'll find it in chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll find it in chapter, verse 1, verse 6, verse 7, verse 19, and also in chapter 9, verse 8. It talks about the grace of giving. And, for you know that in verse 1 it says there, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. That's the grace of giving. You know, it's so sad, but many of God's people never got a hold of that grace. Many of God's people. You know, if a man's never accepted Christ, you don't expect him to do nothing for Christ. Them kids stood up here a while ago and sung, you know, how wonderful and how great, what all he done on Calvary. How in the world can you listen to that and not feel that, God, I sure would like somebody else to hear that message. Lord, I'd like for them 750 billion people in this world to know that Savior that I know. Are you sitting here this morning and God's redeemed you and saved your soul out of an old wicked life? Put your marriage back together, give your mind back to you, and you can be stingy? I don't understand that. See, when I was lost, man, I gave about 90% of mine to that wild life and brought about 10% home. There have been many times I get paid on Friday and I didn't make it home with a payday. You say, that's sorry. Yes, it was. About as low down as you can get. Now all God said, hey, why don't you give me 10% and I'll let you keep 90. Things sure are going better today. All my bills are paid. Most of my stuff's paid off. Going a lot better today. To that old crazy life. Amen? Give sacrificially.
Amen.
Say, why is that? Proves your love. Paul said that down here. We said in verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Then in verse 9, it talks about God's grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And wherein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who hath begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. When we give like we need to give, it proves that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two leopards, a missionary named White wrote this illustration. Two lepers in a church that he had in the jungles of South Africa, and they went down to a sawmill and they hired on and told the owner of the sawmill, one of them's hands were gone, one of them's eye was gone, disease that eat away their body, they said, we'll work for the price of one worker. So they worked a week and they got paid 30 shillings. And they went home and they divided them up 50, 15 and 15. Went down to the church to give God his 15, and the missionary told him, said, no, you don't understand tithing. He said, you only owe 3. You just give 3. He said, no, we understand tithing. After what God's done for us, we want to give him half everything we got. You're not buying your salvation. You're saved if you don't ever enter another church. I don't understand that. But you're saved when you accept Christ as your Savior. You're saved if you never give out a gospel tract. You're saved if you never, ever open a songbook, open a Bible. If you have honestly bowed your head and received Christ as your Savior. But I am so thankful to God that I didn't get that kind of salvation. I am so thankful that I got a salvation that would mature me and bring me to the point of where I'm at today, would allow me to serve him and provide me finances to give back to him, that somebody else might be redeemed. Somebody else might hear the gospel. Some other family might be put back together. First 10 years of me and Miss Myers' life was total misery. We've been married 44 years. 44, 45, I can't figure that out yet. But I need to get it down, I can tell you that right now. What God's allowed us to do and what God's done for us in the last 35 years, I don't have no problem dropping a little back in offering plate. I don't have no problem supporting missions. I don't have no problem at all. And what I've noticed, I give and God gives. Amen. I give and God gives. Get in there and balance that old checkbook out and get, well, Lord, I didn't know I had that much in there. Everything's paid. That's pretty good. Well, you used to just throw it up in there and whichever one's laying on the desk you paid and the ones laying on the floor got left behind. Praise God. You know, I'm blessed right now, and I know some of y'all like this, but you know what a blessing this is. I can sit down at one time and write all my bills at one time. I used to never be able to do that. Son, it was holding this one back and running as late as you can on this one and willing to pay the late charge on that one. And don't be shamefaced. I ain't trying to do that to shame you. I'm just telling you, God's been good to me.
Amen.
Of course, I owe less than what I used to owe, but I can still pay them all one time. I used to come out there and turn our water off. Before the guy got out of sight, I had it turned back on. Well, he got wise. He circled the block, and I done had the water back on. He come took it out. The whole meter and everything out of the ground. So you sitting here struggling today? I've been where you've been.
Amen.
I've been exactly where you've been. I stopped a gas out of one vehicle to put it to split it with another so me and her both could go to work for a week. I've been right where you've been. Don't sit there and tell me, well, he don't know. I understand exactly. We have got up a many a morning, give our children what little change we had for them to eat dinner at school, and me and her both go to work without a penny in our pocket. Been there. You say, why do you, God, I'm telling you, I can give glory to God this morning that I got given right and God's blessed me. I drove an old truck, a little old Datsun pickup to Bible school with a front end knocked off of it. I mean, not bent, tore off. Brother Jeff, you remember that old truck? Tore off where Meyer hit a tree with it. It was a PBI car, if y'all know what I'm talking about. Down there now, man, they got them $30,000 and $40,000 jobs sitting in that parking lot. When I went to school down there in the 80s and Brother Linton, you couldn't take every car in there and get $100,000 for the vehicle. Amen. God's been good. I want to encourage you this morning, and you are. You're excellent. But we still need to preach on it. Sacrificially give to the Lord. Close with a couple of illustrations. This little girl got 10 shiny pennies. She came home with them. She's so proud of them, so she started sorting them out, and she gave one to her mama, one for her, one to her daddy, one for her, one to Jesus, one for her. She got down to 9 pennies. She didn't know what to do with it on her 10th penny. So she just gave it to Jesus, and her mama stepped in and said, "Well, you done give him one." He said, "No, that belonged to him. Listen, here's a present for him." Amen?
Amen.
That tenth belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. Do you think for 1 minute you're going to spend God's money and be all right? It ain't going to work. Amen. The tithe belongeth to the Lord. It ain't going to work. One time there was an offering plate. And in the bottom of that offering plate, there was a sign that says, when you put your money in here, this plate will reveal the true value as God does of what you give. So they passed the offering plate that morning, and a rich man put in a gold piece, and it immediately turned to brass. He had given it for show. Amen? But he got a lot of praise from men. A lady put in a quarter. It became a penny. She could have given more than what she did. A little girl gave a penny. The penny turned to a daisy because she did it just because her Sunday school teacher told her she needed to. And this poor little girl gave several coins, and instantly the plate changed it and filled the plate up with gold coins. And the reason was she had denied herself to give just because she loves the Lord. See your attitude with this giving. I'm tickled to death when I'm able to give. I don't drop no money in the offering plate. I put it in Brother Tom's box in there. But I don't know. They just something about that. They just something about. Amen? And I want to encourage you this morning, get a good attitude towards your giving. And I know some of you are struggling. I'm your pastor. I know some of you are having a hard time. I realize that. But I want to tell you, I don't think I'd shortchange God. I believe I'd, by faith, step out, continue to give, and entrust in your God that we brag on all the time. The God that saved your soul when you didn't think it could be saved. The God that redeemed you. The God that died on the cross. Why don't you just put your faith in Him and say, "Father, I'm going to trust You." And I stand here after 35 years of being in the ministry bragging on Him. And I'm here to tell you, He's everything He says He is. He's everything He says He is. We've had 3 or 4 men right here in our church get promotions. They're not qualified for them. They don't have the ability to do them. Tammy just got a promotion sitting right here. She's got to go back to college in order to get that promotion. Amen. Bubba got a promotion that he is unqualified for, does not have the ability to do. Amen. Can you imagine Bubba in an office? Shut up in a building? Amen. Brother Dennis got a promotion. Amen. Brother Stephen here, God's blessed him with a job that you dream of having. Brother Andrew here just got a promotion. He's able to work at his house and have his own car. And his office can be at his home. That's a pretty good deal right there now. So I'm bragging on the Lord. The economy has went through our church and went through this society, and very little has it affected our church. And it's believe you're giving. Amen. You do give. You give good. But if you slacked up and ever, you know, pick it up. Why don't you do it for 1 year and see if God won't take care of you? God has provided for me quite well. Amen. Let's pray.